I'd like to ask you this morning if you would please to take a Bible, pew Bible or your Bible, and turn to a single verse as our text from Mark chapter 6, verse 34. We often hear the scriptures call upon us to follow Jesus Christ. We hear the admonition that says to us to take up our cross and to follow Him. We usually at first thought of that, grasp the idea that we are being called to follow Him in the hope of salvation. We are being called to take our cross to follow Him as the only one who has both died and has the power to redeem us, and we ought to follow Him because of what He has done. Now, while that's an absolutely true application, it's also true that we are to follow Jesus in the patterns of living and the pattern of His life and in our actions. And I want you to look with me today at a verse of Scripture that, to me, gets right at the heart of that matter of our following the pattern of Jesus Christ. In one of the hymns that we have in our hymnal, there is a line, one of the stanzas, that says, "He, the great example is, and the pattern for me." Well, I want us to see part of that pattern this morning. I want to ask you to look with me at Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. "And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things." Jesus looked out upon a group of people when He came out. Jesus had just got off the boat, if I might use that expression. If you go back and look at what had been happening, Jesus had done great miracles that are recorded for us in Mark chapter 5. He had cast out a great legion of demons out of a man that had been uncontrollable, and he had to live among the tombs. They wouldn't even let him in town. Jesus had healed a centurion's daughter from a distance, or had healed the flow of blood, and then had been at from a lady who had had it for years and couldn't be made any better by any medicinal matter. And then a centurion begged Him to come heal his daughter. Raised her from the dead by the time He got there. She had already passed away. And then we're told that with all of these miracles that were going on, Jesus sent out His disciples two by two, that they would do miracles and that they would preach the gospel of the kingdom. We're told that at the same time all of this was going on, that John the Baptist had been put to death in the prison. He sent His disciples out. We're not told how long they stayed, but they were gone for a while. And when they came back, they were so excited because of the things that God had done through the power of the Holy Spirit in their ministry. And then Jesus said to them a phrase that I've loved to think of in terms of myself sometimes. He said, "Come apart and rest a while." He'd sent them out to work, and they'd faithfully done so. But then He drew them apart. They got in the ship. They went off to a place. They were going to take a vacation, if you would. They were going to get away from all of the people that had gathered around Jesus, but the scripture tells us that they saw the direction that he was going, and they got there before he did. And when he got off the boat, he reacted a different way than what I suspect that I would have reacted. If I had got on the boat looking for a place to get away from the crowds and got there and found a crowd, I would probably have looked around and said, "Really? You're kidding me. I thought I was going to get a break." Jesus looked around, and in looking at that multitude of people, was moved with compassion. I want you to see that statement in two levels this morning, and I'm going to have to kind of join them together. Each one of them could have a whole lot said about them. But there are two levels of that statement. First of all, it reminds us that Jesus looked at our lives and was moved toward us with compassion. And secondly, the level that says to us that as Jesus was moved, we also ought to be moved with compassion toward those that we sometimes are given both the opportunity and the responsibility to look upon, even when it's not a real preferable time in our schedule. You see, first of all, the word compassion is translated from Greek words that are actually a combination of two words, and I'm not even going to attempt to say it. I've tried to practice it so I could say it, but it wouldn't be right. But it comes from a combination of words that literally means to have bowels that yearn. You ever had that feeling that you looked upon somebody and your stomach churned because of your feelings? Maybe it was somebody who had grief in their family, and your heart just went out to them in such a way that your insides turned. It was not just an academic thing. It was a yearning in your life. Maybe there was somebody that was sick, and you had a yearning to be able to do something for them. Somebody that was dealing with some great question in their life, and you had a yearning, a desire, a want to be able to solve that need in their life. Well, that's the idea that's involved in this passage of Scripture where we're told that Jesus looked upon those individuals that drew around him, that crowd. And as he looked upon them, he was moved with compassion. To have pity, to have sympathy. But what I want you to notice is that Jesus looked upon these people in such a way that it moved him to action. He began to teach them great things. Folks, it's one thing to look at somebody, to walk past them and say, "Too bad. Oh, I feel sorry for you." You remember James said in his writings in the book of James, and John said much the same thing in his letters, that if you say that you love your neighbor, you love somebody, got a hungry man that comes in and you just said, I hope you get something to eat, but you don't do anything to help him, that if it doesn't move you in some way to reach out, Jesus was moved with compassion. But now I want you to, we tend to look at things and say, "Well, there's just so many people, I can't do everything," and you're right. But what I want you to notice is when Jesus looked upon this crowd, Jesus didn't look upon the crowd as a crowd. He looked upon them as individual sheep. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. Remember, Jesus is said to be the great shepherd. He is said to be the good shepherd. He gives us many illustrations in his word about how a shepherd cares for his sheep. A shepherd has a flock of sheep. Now that flock can be a small flock, can be a big flock. But as he has a flock of sheep, that those sheep are individual sheep within that number. And it may be one that's been eating too much. There may be one that hadn't been eating right at all. There may be one who's limping because of an injury. There may be one who is trying to run helter-skelter away from all the rest. You see, the great shepherd doesn't look at the crowd as a crowd. The great shepherd looks upon the flock as individual sheep, each of which have their own life, their own need, their own struggle. Jesus didn't look upon these folks with compassion to say, well, I feel sorry for y'all. Wish y'all had more money. Wish y'all had a different situation. Jesus looked upon this group of people as individuals that were hurting, that were hungry, that were in need, that were struggling. And he looked to see the need. Now I understand, beloved, Jesus sees things far better than you and I see things. Okay? He knows all things. I got news for you. He knew who was going to be in the crowd before he got off the boat. You and I don't know that. But the first lesson that I think we need to learn is to understand that Jesus looked at you and at me just like that. He didn't just look down at all the mass of humanity in the world and say, man, them wicked folks. I'm going to do what I can and hope they get by. Jesus looked down and he saw Lee Chambers. He saw Lee Chambers from the foundation of the world. And he saw the path that Lee Chambers was going to be on. And he came into this world to die, to redeem me from that path. But he didn't just see what he was going to have to do. He saw what I was going to be because of what he did. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And he despised the shame. Why? Because his death and his humiliation were going to, what he was going to do was going to mean that I was going to spend eternity with him. You see, he looked not only at where I was, but what he was going to make me become. He looked not only at my failings, he looked not only at my hurts, he looked not only at my hungers, he looked at what I needed to become what he wanted me to be. Jesus was moved with sympathy and pity in such a way that he acted to meet the needs that he was capable of. I understand. Preacher, I can't do all of that. You're right. There's a whole lot of things that Jesus did that you can't do. There's a whole lot of things that Jesus did that I can't do. But you know, the pattern is that because of concerns for the individual that I do what I can. We talked this morning in Bible study about the gifts that we're given and the fact that God prepares us to serve in some way when He gives us the gift. Well, I can't do what somebody else can, but I can do what I can do. Let me ask you something this morning. Does your concern for God's sheep strike you with enough consideration to make you want to do in the service of God what you can do? I want you to notice with me something this morning from Matthew chapter 8. I want to look at three different illustrations. If you will, I want you to see the compassion of Jesus Christ in these three different illustrations in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. When He came down from the mountain, great multitudes. That mountain, by the way, was the mountain where He had been in Matthew chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, which was the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus had just completed that marvelous sermon. He preached in such a way that all that heard Him at the end of chapter 7, they were amazed at the authority with which He spoke. And when He came down, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped Him, saying, "Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Now, brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot of things that could be done right here. But I want you to notice something about this situation. There was a whole lot of people that came around Jesus. But there was this one man. And the interesting thing about him was that he was a leper. Not a leopard. He was not a big cat with spots. He was a leper. He was a man whose body was racked with a disease for which there was no medical treatment. It literally would bring the deterioration to the point where his skin would rot off of his bones. I don't mean to be crass, but I want you to see the destruction that was involved in this disease. This man was a hopeless circumstance when people around him looked at him. He was a helpless situation because under the law of Moses, a leper had to cover his upper lip, and when he got close to anybody, he had to warn them he was unclean, and as a leper, they would move away from him. Now, how lonely do you think the man felt? How helpless do you think the man felt? And yet, because of what Jesus had done, he came and he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me clean." And Jesus did. Immediately, instantly. But then he said, "You go. Don't you go running off into the community. You go to the priest." You see, the law said that when a man was cleansed of a leper, there was a certain process he was to follow. He was to carry certain things to make a certain offering at the hands of the priest to be declared clean to enter into the sanctuary. Jesus cleansed him, but then the greater thing was, Jesus, as he began to teach that multitude, he taught them great things. The great thing is God has a way, but God calls us to walk in that way. God, in His mercy, when we were hopeless and helpless in sin, God called His Son, or sent His Son Jesus Christ, to wash us from our sins. In His compassion and in His mercy, He cleansed our soul. But He said, go and do what the Word of God tells you to do. You see, folks, today there are people who want to say, well, Jesus healed me, but I don't have to do anything else. Jesus saved me, but I don't really need it. Jesus saved us in His mercy. And His teaching to us is, because of what He has done, every one of us ought to be in a public testimony of our faith. Well, I can't go out and stand on a corner. No, but you can sure make a profession of faith before others that says, I believe that Jesus saved my soul and I want to serve Him. Now, however He gives me that opportunity, however He opens, He was moved with compassion. I want to serve Him in obedience and in compassion upon His sheep. You see, Jesus taught us in the Word of God to repent and be baptized. You see today, folks, because of His healing grace and His healing power, that same thing to us is that we ought to also go and do what He told us to do. He cleansed a leper. He cleansed a man who was hopeless and helpless. Then if you look in chapter 8, verses 5, 6, and 7, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto Him a centurion beseeching Him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I will. Lord, if You will, You can. I will. I will come. Don't miss the connection of those two words. Jesus does all things according to His will. He doesn't do anything accidental. And He doesn't do anything just simply on a whim. He does everything according to His will. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that Thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to another, do this, and he doeth it. You see, this man said, Lord, I'm not commanding You. I'm not worthy for You to do what I ask. I know what authority is, and I'm not in authority over You, but I know that You can heal this one that's important to me. And Jesus began to teach immediately the teaching of faith. I've not seen this kind of faith in many other people in Israel. He told him to go on. His servant would be healed. You see, folks, when we serve the Lord, His compassion doesn't make Him a slave to us. His compassion makes Him one before whom we ought to bow as one with authority, because it's the authority of His will that works in our lives. He has done all things according to His will. And then later, Matt, verses 14, 15, and in those verses, Jesus had finished the day. He went into the city of Capernaum. He went to Peter's house. We got to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law was in the bed sick of a fever. Now understand, this wasn't just a little low-grade fever. How many of us, before COVID came around, how many of us ever got up and had a fever of 100 or 101 and took an aspirin and went on about our business? This wasn't a low-grade fever. This was one that flat put her into bed. This woman was burning up with fever, if we might use that expression that we use sometimes. This woman was debilitated by that fever. And Jesus touched her. Jesus was moved with compassion. Jesus wasn't afraid of getting sick. It was in His power. There's a lot of things, folks, that you and I can't do. It's not in our power. But what is in our power ought to be what we do, like Jesus did. He touched her and healed her. And you know what she did? she got up and started serving them. That was a testimony of how thorough his healing was, but it was also a testimony of the effect of his compassion upon her in his service. Brothers and sisters, how many of us are affected by Christ's compassion that way? That he thoroughly cleansed our sin. He totally raised us up from a debilitating circumstance. He fully and completely worked in our lives. How many of us have been moved to serve him? You see, there's two sides of this issue. One is the recognition of God's grace and graciousness. We were the helpless man. We were the man who was not worthy of anything that Jesus did. We were the man who was debilitated in bed. Man or woman, boy or girl, adult or child. We were the ones who had no strength of our own, and yet Jesus in his grace and graciousness has changed our lives. And I want to ask you today, folks, what commitment of service have you made in following him because of what he's done to you? But then I would say to you, as you watch the hand of Jesus at work, as he was moved in with compassion and with sympathy, and as he reached out not only to do what he could as he healed them, what he only could do, and you and I do what we might do, it was that we follow with teaching the message of the Word of God. Jesus never separated the good things that he did from the teaching of the truth of God. Jesus never separated his compassion from his truth. He took a woman who was placed in front of him and said, "Go. Neither do I condemn thee. Go." But his other part of that word was, "And sin no more." You see, brothers and sisters, there's two things that you and I ought to be conscious of. As we look upon others in our life, around our lives, who are may very well be the sheep of Jesus Christ. They may be in a bad situation. They may be hungry. They may be hurt. They may have fallen flat on their face and totally messed up their lives. But then again, folks, remember, so did you. In the sight of God, our sin would totally have separated us from him. And yet in his compassion, not only did he solve my problem, not only did he treat my symptom, he taught me what he wanted me to do. Folks, when we look around us, there are times that we can give people groceries. And if it's within our power, we ought to, when the need is there. There are times that we can do service to people in a physical way. And if we have that capability and the need is there, we ought to. We ought to because there are so many people like this crowd that were like sheep without a shepherd. If they're without a shepherd, they need someone to lead them. And that's where Jesus, through his word, gives us the opportunity to teach them great things about Jesus Christ. We ought to be moved with compassion to those that have needs. Solomon said that where there's the capability in our hands to do good, don't refuse to do it. But folks, when we reach out to do those things, may we also, like Jesus, be careful to teach them the great things of Jesus Christ. I would say to you today, if you know that Jesus has looked down upon you like one of his sheep that maybe have been like the one in the parable and you've been out on the hills away and you know that Jesus has come to you, that you would begin to follow him. If he's taught you his word that says, take up your cross and follow me, that you would follow him. And brothers and sisters, if you are here today, and you look at times in your life when you know that there are things maybe in the past that you could have done and didn't. Maybe you clucked your tongue and walked away. And may God convict our souls that we would not do it again, but that we would serve and teach great things. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the truth of your grace. Thank you that you looked upon us with compassion enough to send your son, and he looked upon us with compassion enough to die, and he looked upon us with compassion enough to call us from death to life. And in his compassion, he says, follow me. Lord, help us to follow you. Help us to encourage others to follow you in compassion as we look upon those who are as sheep without a shepherd. May we point them to the shepherd and bishop of our souls, Jesus Christ. Help us in his blessed name, I pray. And amen.